Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Provo City School District's What's Up with the Soup podcast. I am Superintendent Wendy Dow, and we have an exciting episode for you this week. I am joined by two Timpview High students from our CAPS program, Samuel Camargo and Spencer Perry. But first, we can't forget our updates. A reminder that there is no school on Monday, March 18th. Monday is a professional development day for teachers. This means that students do not have school until Tuesday, March 19th. As the next step in the board's development of a new strategic plan for the district, focus group sessions will be held on Monday, March 18th and Tuesday, March 19th. The focus group sessions are to gather additional feedback from parents, community members, students, and employees. An email with a link to sign up was sent to all parents and employees on Tuesday, March 12th. You can also find the link to sign up on the district website and on all district social media platforms. If you are interested in hearing updates regarding the construction projects happening across the district, please visit the district website and click on the new construction newsletter sign-up link. Newsletters will be sent out every 2 weeks. The Board of Education currently has one new draft policy available for community input on the district website. From the main page of the district website, click on the Policies, Form, and Documents button. On the next page, at the top left, there is an orange Review Draft Policies Here button. The new policy available for review is a draft Student Board Members and Student Advisory Council policy. We will accept feedback until our next policy committee meeting on Monday, March 25th. The policy committee will then review that feedback and take a final draft back to the board for review on April 16th. Fifth grade parents, registration is underway for Camp Big Springs and has been extended to March 29th. There are still plenty of spots available. Remember, if your student would really like to attend camp, but you may need help paying the registration cost, there is a scholarship form available at the main office of your elementary school. The next school board meeting will be an all-day meeting on Friday, March 29th. The public is welcome to attend, but there will be no public comment. On Monday, March 18th at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Riverside Country Club, we will be hosting our Easter basket auction, which is sponsored by the Provo City School District Foundation. We will auction off Easter baskets that are full of all sorts of goodies, as well as other items in a live auction. All proceeds that are raised from the auction will be donated to programs throughout the district benefiting students within Provo City Schools. We hope to see you there. Look for the weekly video cast from me every Friday. In this short video, I provide important information and updates about work happening throughout the district. I am here today with Samuel Camargo, a CAPS student from Timpview High School, and Spencer Perry, also a CAPS student at Timpview High School. And we most certainly did not ask them to miss class to record this podcast. Right?
Yeah, good. It's all good.
Yeah, good answer. Good answer. So tell us a little bit about the CAPS program. I know what it is, but maybe there are kids out there that have no idea what it's about.
CAPS is for business and marketing, and kind of like, our strand is business and marketing.
Okay.
So there are four different strands. There's like health, there's engineering, there's like digital media, and like programming, and then business and marketing. So Sam and I are in the business and marketing. Our project is the food truck.
Excellent. This food truck has been kind of a project for several different groups. Because when I went to the showcase like last spring, they were talking about the food truck. So what phase, Sam, you want to tell us like what phase are we in on this food truck?
All right. So the food truck is already have been built.
Okay.
Now we're doing the marketing part and all the papers to get it starting and pretty much what it needs to operate.
Okay. The food truck. So you're getting it ready to open,
mm-hmm.
like to be operational so we can start driving it around and making some money.
Yes.
Excellent. I love it. Okay. So you're working with BYU in some sort of capacity through a MAPS program. Tell me a little bit about that and how that's fitting in with CAPS. There's MAPS and CAPS.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So, so every Friday, so once every 2 weeks, they will have the mentors come in and they will help us with any questions we have, or, you know, like Benson, he's our mentor through that program. And he's helped us with Google Sheets and a few other programs that we don't know entirely how to use. And he's an accounting major, so he knows a lot about that. He can kind of help and use his expertise to improve our project.
Excellent. So this is through BYU's YServe program. And then they come in and they're just, and so it's an accounting major. So this is someone who has expertise in business and marketing that can support you guys.
Yes. I'm not sure like how many of them are accounting majors.
Okay.
But he is someone that I think they're all from all over BYU.
Okay. So he helped you with like Google Sheets. What other kinds of things did he help you with?
He helped us with brainstorming, like ideas for menu and how to make it work.
Okay, good. And we're going to get to the menu part because that's the part I care about, is what food is going to come out of this food truck. And then Sam, you moved here to the United States or just to Provo a few years ago?
To the United States.
To the United States. And where are you from, Sam?
Colombia.
Colombia. Okay. And how did you hear about the CAPS program?
I had a friend, Christian.
Okay.
He was there before I did last year. And he told me it was pretty fun and he told me about his project and what he had to do. And he invited me and I went after they started, but I could still change classes. So I did. Changed classes because I didn't have second or third A period. Okay. So I put CAPS in and I like it.
And here you are.
Yes.
And now you have a food truck. That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about why you guys got involved in this. Why business and marketing? Was this a career you want to do? What are your plans? Like, what are you hoping to learn from this?
Okay, well, so my parents are entrepreneurs. They have their own business. And when I was looking at the strand options, business and marketing was the only one that really caught my eye because I don't know much about engineering. And I know I want to get into, you know, something in that field.
Okay. So that's why you got interested. What about you?
For me, last semester, before doing the marketing, I was into photography and the digital strand, digital media strand.
Oh, okay.
So I did a project on that, and I was wanting to change strands to see like what it will take, like something new. And so I changed to the marketing one. My stepdad also has like their own company that he's also pretty good at marketing, and that's what I liked, marketing. So I choose to go on the marketing strand.
So it's kind of interesting. You both have family members that are kind of in these areas and you're checking it out and you're thinking, okay, maybe this would be a good route for me. Okay.
Well, because growing up my whole life, I always would listen in on their podcast that they do. They have their own podcast that they do.
That is awesome.
So kind of, I have some experience at this. I've helped edit a few of them. So kind of just being around them, having them teach me the whole process of it. It's been really interesting.
That's fantastic. Okay. And what is their business?
It's called Learn to Become. So it's kind of like an organization company. So they will help you like organize your mind first before you organize your place. And so they have a lot of testimonials, a lot of people that have gone through their program, and they show like before and after pictures. And it's just like, it's a big difference.
It's a life-changing kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Okay. So tell us a little bit about the food truck itself. Okay. So it's been rebuilt. Is it ready to go? Is like the interior of it already?
Okay. So we had our inspection yesterday.
Oh, wow.
With the inspector.
Okay.
But it's kind of weird like how there are so many different components of the truck that can go wrong. And it seems like they always do go wrong. Yeah. So like, well, they last semester, their job was to get the truck operational. But they didn't like do a whole lot of tests beforehand. So yesterday we got a new hose and a new tote. That was one of the requirements we needed to have for wastewater and clean water. And the hose wouldn't reach from the truck to the thing. So we had to connect extra hoses and pull the truck.
We had like three hoses.
Oh, man. Connected to, yeah. It's sort of like that scene in Apollo 13 where they're like duct taping stuff together to figure out how to get back home from the moon, you know? Did you pass the inspection then?
So we had like two or three more things that we needed. Okay. One of them was the water heater that started leaking as soon as water started going through it, but it was brand new and never been used. So Clay Bingham, he's our client for that. He wanted to talk to the maintenance guy and just like have that fixed. So
great.
Yeah, there are a few more issues that were very small, but we'll pass next time.
Okay. And so how long do you have to wait before you can get it inspected again?
So Clay was saying like a week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So pretty quick.
Yeah.
So we'll pass the inspection. Okay. And then what are you going to sell in this truck? What are you going to make? What are you going to sell? How's that all going to work? And how did you come up with the ideas for your menu and how did that all come to fruition?
Yeah, so Clay's idea was to, you know, have different groups like FBLA and DECA, different, you know, student-run groups to sign up and volunteer for this truck during football games, you know, school events, that kind of stuff. More of a fundraiser for their school trips or uniforms, stuff like that. And so we had an idea for a few different, like, menu ideas. But then we thought it'd be fun if we had a few snacks and drinks predetermined.
Okay.
And then let them choose the main course.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So if it's like a French club, they can have a French dish, have it something that's like, you know, they can be creative with it.
Oh, great idea. I love that. Okay. Well, if you could pick, Sam, what you would want in the food truck for them to make, what would you want to buy from a food truck?
I used to work in a food truck before.
Okay.
And it's hard to do like big dishes.
Yeah.
Because you have to store all the food and prepare all the food. But in that food truck, I think like hamburger sandwiches, like Subway style, somewhere like that.
Something that's a little more simple that you can store stuff pretty easily. That makes sense. See, you're being very practical. I would be like, well, what do I want to have, though? I feel like I would like a Nutella-filled crepe or something, you know, with ice cream and, I don't know, whipping cream, strawberries, something. I don't know. Something.
Well, because with stuff like that, it's very niche market. So for food truck that needs to be very successful, needs to be like a wide, broad end.
So you're just bringing up another point. So something you've learned in this process is that when you narrow it too much, then your customer base is much smaller, right? And so the more you can make it broad and appeal to a wider variety of people, that's when you're going to make more money, right? Yes. Okay.
It was funny because while I was like putting together like a snacks and drinks list that can be bought in wholesale with a good profit margin, I showed Shannon Kwan, she's like the director over the business and marketing. And so I showed her the drink options and we had Coca-Cola and then Diet Coke. And then she was like, no, you got to have Coke Zero on there. Because
it's really true. Nobody wants Diet Coke. Yeah, she wanted
that. And so, well, some people did that were there too. So like, kind of like.
But you have to have both.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tricky.
So it's good to see like her perspective and what she would want in there too.
Okay. That's excellent. See, and I would think then you might also have to bring in some Pepsi drinkers in that and like have some Diet Mountain Dew or something like that. Isn't Mountain Dew like the most common drink in Utah or some? I feel like it might be. I don't know.
Yeah, but the problem with the food truck is you only have so much storage space so that you can't put.
So you got a limit. Yep. But, oh man, that gets tricky. See, you guys are much smarter at this than I would be. Okay, so part of your strategy then is make it broad enough that you're not narrowing your customer base, but also recognizing you have limited space. What are some other things that you had to take into consideration as you were figuring out the marketing of this and figuring out how to actually help people run this food truck?
The menu during the school hours is different from the menu after the school hours.
Okay. Because
during the school hours, we have to have a menu approved by the school district and CSCO and all the lists that the child nutrition department has already approved. That's different from what we can sell after the school hours. Before the school hours, we have to go through the whole list. But we had a meeting with the child nutrition department, and they give us all the approved items and approved lists that all of the food that they have.
Okay.
Benson helped us with that to put all that together. And that was also a hard part. And also training the students that are going to be running the food truck before they just go and...
They got to learn how to use all of the equipment and stuff, right? I would imagine they would need food handler permits.
Yes.
Yes. So there's just a few hoops and things that they have to jump through to be able to do that. I think it's interesting that you're talking about, too, the differences between school day and after school, because there are, like, you can't have empty calories and you can't, you know, you have to have so many nutritional things happening. So that also required an extra step, right, where you're meeting with child nutrition services. I bet you didn't even know that all of those requirements were there. Did you know that before?
Yeah, well, so I haven't really like had it school lunch a lot, like ever. So kind of also learning about that was really good. But like I didn't know that you had to have like 50% green, I think was the requirement for any bread products.
Yep.
So, yeah, you learn new things.
If a group wanted to use this food truck, what's going to be the process for them to, like, check it out? Or have you thought about that? Or who's managing all of that?
Yeah, so we were thinking that, like, well, because the students can't obviously drive the truck, for them to do that, they have to find either their advisor for the club would have to be the one driving, I'll be the one signing off on things. So we have, like, a Google sheet, like a slideshow we're starting to make that we can, like, you send to people to review with their clubs have some pictures of the truck, have some like processes, say, oh, here's the food handler's permit training that you need to do beforehand, okay, and make sure that your advisor knows all of that.
Okay, so there's almost some training for advisors that are going to be utilizing this for fundraising purposes, that type of thing. And then I'm guessing that as they're running this food truck, there's going to have to be almost like a rental fee that's part of like helping with the upkeep of the truck, right? So the district needs to pull a piece of that off, right, so that everybody can have access to it and use a little chunk in case the water heater breaks again or something like that, that they have the money to fix it. Would that be your understanding?
We're not really sure exactly what is the percentage that the district's going to keep.
Okay.
But mostly it's going to be fundraisers on the clubs.
For the students.
For the students, okay. Yeah.
Good.
Because part of our checklist to have this project complete is to have a business plan. So we went through and we did like a rough draft. Gave that to Clay. Okay. He's still reviewing that. He's going to let us know how we can improve on that. But part of it was, well, the part of the plan I came up with was to, how about the first month or two, like me running it, me and Sam, whoever else is doing it, have that create an emergency fund. So yeah,
okay.
For gasoline, to buy future food, and yeah, for emergencies too. And then yeah, after that, all the profit is going to go to the students.
Okay. And then tell me what you had to put in your business plan. What were some of the things that were required?
So target market, just, okay, you know, who are we looking for? Competitive analysis, looking at other food trucks. Well, before I had the interview, I actually went with my dad and we went and we visited like two or three other food trucks.
Okay.
We saw what they were doing, like what they do if it rains, how they can change their prices, you know, really quickly, other stuff like that too.
Excellent. What are the biggest expenses that you're learning about that are tied to running a food truck?
I'll say that the biggest like expenses are the time.
Okay.
The time just to coordinate everything, make sure everything works before going and sell, and having everything set up, like having your food plan and everything, like who's going to do what, who's going to be the cashier, who's going to be cooking, all of that.
And how many people can you fit in this food truck? Because I can also increase output, but there's also a limited amount of space. So what would be the maximum number that you could have helping in a food truck at one time?
I mean, I would think like four or five on the inside, that would be good. But then Clay and Juliana, his assistant, were talking about having a few people outside of the food truck.
Okay.
To talk to people and other stuff like
almost
that.
Almost kind of like when you go to a restaurant and they have someone that, you know, the chef is sitting back here, but they're executing all the orders. They're like telling them what they need and how this is wrong and send this back or whatever. And then they're handing it to the servers and carrying it out. So you could have someone that could kind of help along those lines. And besides a food handler's permit, what other permits have you had to get? You had the inspection. What are some of the other kind of what we would call red tape types of things that you had to go through to get this ready?
Well, since Clay is going to be signing off on the truck and going to be managing that, he needed his like food management certificate.
Yes.
There's something else that he needed to get like that. And then health permits.
So Clay is like a food manager. I'm going to put him in charge of so many things now in the
district. If you want to, yeah.
I think he's my man on so many things. That's amazing. Keep going. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Yeah, but then also like health permits, make sure the whole truck is good. And then business permits, like can we operate?
Oh, okay.
Where can we operate in Provo and what times?
Okay. What are the unique requirements? Like a food truck moves around. So how does that work? Because most business licenses, they want a location. So is there a specific type of licensing you get when you're mobile like that?
It's just a food truck, food vendor's license.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Okay, so there's like a special license for this that they get. Okay.
It was kind of cool because I saw this one map of Provo and downtown was all blocked off. You couldn't put it anywhere in these blocks, like in the CBD, Central Business District. And, like, you couldn't put a truck at all there.
And why? Do we know?
I think just with emergency services, other issues like that. Yeah.
They don't want a whole bunch of people like lining up or cars being in weird places.
Yeah, so it's like a perfect square. It's like jagged, like different blocks were marked off.
Fascinating. Because I would think that would be the perfect place for a food truck.
Well, I'm sure during when the street's blocked off for, you know, parades or other stuff.
Then it's okay.
It's free game.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. How could it be a barrier if you're not understanding this process? And let's say I want to have a food truck and do this. who would you go to get help? Like, you have this person from BYU that was helping you, you have Clay that's helping you. Who gets help outside of that? How would you find out about this and what to do? Where would you go?
Well, I'm not sure you can jump in feet first and just buy a truck and hope it's going to be ready.
I'd be like, hope for the best.
Yeah, that might be an entire waste. But there are programs, there are courses you can go through. There's one guy named Pat Flynn, and he has never owned a food truck, but he actually went through and created a course on how to do that. So it was a challenge with himself, like, hey, I can create an online business doing this, like, in this amount of time. And then it worked. Like, he just started a food truck, like, blog website with the course and everything. So there are courses available for people to start.
That's great news. How do you decide, like, you want to expand your market, but how do you also decide, like, this is what I want to be known for? What advice would you give to kids that are going to be using this food truck for fundraising?
It's a food truck run by students for the students. The marketing, it's the phrase, is run by students.
Okay, I love
that. And it's for the students. That was fun. Like, it's a food truck run by students.
Yeah.
That's mostly, like, what we were thinking. So when the clubs decide they dish, like, let's say it's the French club, they get to choose a French dish.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's like a big event, like a game, there's going to be a food that the students like. Like, we had at CAPS, we asked every person, like, a survey about what they would like to be on the menu.
Okay.
And one person said corn dogs. But we don't have the fryer.
Because there are a few issues like that, because, like, you can't go off of one food, like, go off a food truck off of one person's, you know, wants, what they want. Yeah, and corn dogs, they have very niche markets, you know, like, find something broader.
Yeah, well, can you find the food trucks that just have corn dogs? That's a very small group of people that you're dealing with, right? So if you can do something like hot dogs, pizza, burgers, you're still keeping it pretty simple, but that probably one of those three things somebody's going to like.
Yeah.
Nachos or, something like that. So what do you think are the food choices that most teenagers would like?
Yeah, I think just pizzas, hamburgers, nachos, that kind of stuff. You want it to be aromatic, so something that people can, like, smell
good.
From far away.
Oh, see? Because
there's, like, plenty of food trucks, and they smell that one thing. Like, oh, what is that? Because, I don't know.
I want to eat that.
Yeah, yes. And also, going to, like, a Timpu basketball game, they have the concessions little booth in the back. But nachos are just chips with cheese. That's it. So what we wanted to do was have, like, onions, jalapenos, other seasonings to make it more of an actual food instead of just cheese and nachos.
Just actual nachos. So it's a little more gourmet.
Yep.
And then I'm also willing to spend a little bit more money because it seems like I'm getting a little bit more than just cheese sauce and chips, right? So what are the future plans for the truck? So we're going to rent this out or allow an advisor to get it. Anything else that's in the future for this food truck? Because I feel like it's been on an incredible journey.
Yeah, Clay told us that he wanted to be a project for every semester on CAPS and have the students that are going to be on that project to run it and have them decide who's going to manage the truck, like what clubs, what events, stuff like that.
Okay.
For the next semester when it's ready, have the students on the project run it.
Okay.
Also, Clay wants to do it's like an art event or something like that that's in Provo. He wants to have this truck at that, like, in like mid to late April.
Okay. So I'll be able to go to this food truck.
Yes. Yeah, so it's not just, it's not just a school, just for schools. It can be for any
you could take
event.
It to an event around here and it could be an advisor for a club at one of the high schools and they could still use it for fundraising abilities. That's awesome. What grade are you guys in at Timpu?
Junior.
Both juniors.
You're both juniors. Okay. So you're not quite ready to leave, you know, the Thunderbird nest yet. But what are your plans after high school? Or have you thought about it?
Also, I love cars. It's kind of like a big hobby passion of mine. So I'm not sure if I want to be like a mechanic in the nitty-gritty, but something involved with cars, whether it's car design. I could be a mechanic. I could find that enjoyable. Just something involved with that in my passion.
Oh, he drifts. Awesome. He knows how to drift.
Sounds like there's a story there, I feel like. What would you like to do?
I have a free year before I graduate. I graduate at 17.
Okay.
I want to work in that year. And after, I go on a mission.
Okay.
And after, I start college.
Do you know what you want to study?
Maybe marketing or something related with photography, because I love photography.
You're probably going to end up combining both of those skills if you're going to make money off of photography, right?
Yes.
So you have learned a lot of skills in this. What's been the best part about this CAPS project?
Learning.
Okay.
Learning. Very much learning, and just what it looks like. It's fun to have Spencer in the project and have like a new friend just to create this food truck, make it run. And after the end, like when we're finished with the semester, looking at the food truck and say like, we did it.
Yeah.
There it is.
There are a lot of things that are great about CAPS. Like I love going there every other day. I love spending time there. I think just having the opportunity to be doing it, because before CAPS was around, there was like nothing for students to do to actually learn business skills. Like there were a few entrepreneurship classes and other stuff they didn't teach you. There's no hands-on experience about that. So
it's all very removed, right? It's like if you were have this imaginary business, but you're not actually working with real clients.
Having real clients, real food truck, like an actual physical
thing. Real people.
It's cool.
Yeah. A real business, yes.
What do you think is the most important thing that you've learned as a result of this?
That things aren't always as easy as they seem. Because because we had the list of all of the available projects through CAPS, and I saw the food truck one, and it was like, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to make the business plan, and you're going to like get the paperwork and get it running. And then once we get into it, it's like, oh, shoot, we also got to get the wraps. You got to fix these issues. You got to, like, I don't know, get all these permits and everything else like that. So, and once one problem's fixed, it's like one or two that come back in its place. So it's like there's always more things to do with it.
Yeah, you're never quite finished.
Yeah.
Right. It's always an ongoing problem-solving situation. What about you?
The best thing that I learned was the experience. Like having the experience is going to be worth it. Not just if you get the experience, you're not going to use it. If you always get experience like on anything, you can apply it to anything at your life or anything that you have in your personal, or if you even have a business, anything can help, like any experience, everything.
It's interesting how we figure out that these experiences in our schooling actually just transfer into a lot of different parts of our life, right? Like when you're describing, I fixed this problem and then there's two more. I mean, that's kind of the definition of life, right? You're never just going to sit back and be like, I can just coast now. You know, that usually doesn't happen. So understanding that communication piece, you're kind of talking about, you know, meeting Spencer and you have to meet new people and figure out how to work with them. And you guys have taken away a lot of skills just in a short amount of time. That's really impressive. What would you say to students that are considering CAPS, or maybe you've never heard about it or are a little nervous about signing up for it?
Take it. Take CAPS. It's pretty fun. Last semester, there was like a showcase of every project, what the project was about. The client will talk about the project and what they wanted, and people will sign up and see if they got into the project. But this semester, what they did, I think it was more interesting because it was interviews with the clients before getting like a job interview, like an actual job interview. So you get into the project and you work with your client and your new companion that will help you. And you also take turns into being the leader at the project. Because every 2 weeks we change roles.
Okay.
We get new leader. Spencer's is the leader now, but I was the leader a week ago.
But it's finished tomorrow. See, after a Friday weekend, you'll be back up and doing it. So what I was thinking about that question was, I love CAPS. It's a great thing. But if you're coming into it thinking, oh, it's an easy credit, it's an easy A, I can just come in and coast, it's probably not for you. But if you can realize, oh, this is a real project, you know, real clients, I can put in the effort, it'll be very rewarding and you'll enjoy it a lot more.
And you'll gain a whole bunch of skills while you're doing it, but you're going to earn it.
Yeah, because the minute you start coasting and don't start focusing on stuff, that's when you'll miss your client meetings, your professionalism, all of your other points that go into your grade in that class. But if you are just going and having that experience and learning, then you'll do well.
You'll nail it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be great. So Well, thank you so much being on our on our show to talk about CAPS and your awesome project. I can't wait to come and find your food truck and test it out. This is going to be very exciting. So thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining me for this week's episode of What's Up with the Soup. As always, all episodes will be posted on the district website, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts. If you have any topics or questions you would like us to discuss on the podcast, please email us at podcast@provo.edu. As always, next week we will have an all-new episode of What's Up with the Soup. See you next time.